You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap. Packers content delivered directly to your inbox. Subscribe at theleap.substack.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. And the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. Today's episode is brought to you by our Locked On NFL preview starting today. We're previewing every team with every division with the help of Odyssey's lineup of NFL experts through September 8th. Follow Locked On NFL today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Packers finished up their preseason on Saturday. It was an ugly, ugly game for much of the second half. And defensively, it was an ugly game for the entirety of the contest because the Packers played all their backups and the Bills played their real guys for a decent amount of this game, especially on defense. Almost the entire time Jordan Love was in the game, it seemed like the Buffalo defense was in the game. The Packers ultimately lose 19-0. And there's plenty of time for us to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the offense and what the offense is going to do this season. We are going to do that. Okay, there's plenty of time. The Packers don't play for 2 weeks. So I know that there are some Packer fans who are a little annoyed with the level of discourse around Jordan Love. And I also know that there are a lot of Packer fans who are fascinated by what's going on with Jordan Love, if for no other reason than this might be the guy who leads this franchise moving forward. And so we have to be able to assess what we're seeing. And there's some obvious stuff, right? The decisions in the red zone, the interception is just a decision you can't make. And then there was the one in the red zone at the end of the half, should have been a field goal. And he throws a ball back across his body that should have been intercepted. But the other side of that is in three possessions, he marches the ball down into Buffalo territory in every single one, two of them inside the 10. And the interception is another one where they're moving the ball. They just converted a fourth down and a beautiful play from Jordan Love. Let's go back. Okay. Let's go back to this time. Well, okay. Mid-July last year, we were talking about what does a successful training camp look like for Jordan Love. And what I said at the time was, what you need to see from Jordan Love is that it's not too fast, that he's not slow to pick up the playbook, that he's not swimming in information, because this is a thing that can happen to young quarterbacks. They come in and the game is moving a little too fast. You know, Justin Fields has a lot of physical talent and he's experienced and he's smart. But the game is moving a little too fast for him at times. And I don't think he's as adept as he could be at recognizing some things pre-snap. And, you know, the game for Mitch Trubisky, not to pick on Bears quarterbacks, but, you know, why not? The game always seemed to be moving too fast for him. He never quite picked up on the speed of NFL defenses and the information overload. He wasn't able to go 1 to 2 to 3. What we've seen from Jordan Love is he understands the concepts, the breakdowns, the whys, and the coverages that he's getting. He consistently hits his back foot and goes. His average time to throw in the preseason per Pro Football Focus was 2.17 seconds. That is lightning. That means he's hitting his back foot and getting the ball out. And it's not like he's just taking checkdowns or underneath throws. He's got the cover two hole shot to Malik Taylor. He's got those in-breaker strike throws to Devin Funchess. He throws the play action laser out to Malik Taylor. He hits Reggie Bagleton on the double move. That's a secondary read on that play. He's able to step up, reset, and make an accurate throw. The stuff that we thought he was going to have to work on, that's the stuff where he looks most comfortable. In structure, on time, he looks at his best. That is not what we were expecting coming in. He had a 116 passer rating from a clean pocket per Pro Football Focus. That means when he's playing in structure, he's seeing it, he's getting to his guys, and he's making accurate throws with consistency. It is when things break down a little bit where he has struggled, but that's where he was unique in college. His ability to create plays outside of structure, to extend plays, make throws on the run, off-platform throws. Now, he made two YOLO throws against the Bills. Didn't have any against the Texans. Had the YOLO throw in family night, but that was on fourth down, so you're okay with the arm punt if it's an arm punt. And by the way, both of those, that one and the one against the Bills, were actually unbelievable throws in terms of the physical skills necessary to flick a ball 40 yards falling away and put it right where you want to put it. I mean, Devin Funchess probably should have caught that one. Devin Funchess released on an injury settlement. Could be back with the Packers later in the year if he could be, you know, if he's available to be. Those are the mistakes you want to see, because there are going to be mistakes. You want them to be mistakes where it's not, oh, I didn't see the defender. Oh, I got fooled by coverage. Oh, I didn't have the right play in my brain, and I thought he was running a dig, and it turns out he's running a post. Like, it's not that kind of error. It's an error of aggressiveness, of I'm not going to let the play die. And from a quarterback standpoint, not being as good under pressure as you are from a clean pocket is natural. Everyone is worse under pressure over time. You know, some people have seasons where they're just on heaters, to, you know, against pressure. Justin Herbert was awesome against pressure last year, awesome on third down. Over time, those things tend to even out a little bit. And, you know, it is the case that for much of Aaron Rodgers' career, the rule was don't blitz him. Don't blitz him because he will pick you apart. Well, good luck, because he's even better when you don't blitz him, or he's even better when you don't get pressure. So That is why the baseline is, from a clean pocket, you have to be able to operate. You have to be able to maneuver. If you're going to be making mistakes against pressure, you want them to be aggressive mistakes. You don't want it to be, okay, he feels the pressure, he drops his eyes, and he panics. He turtles. That is not what Jordan Love does. Now, if you can ratchet down the aggressiveness 15, 20%, because you don't want to take it away. You don't want to say, okay, if you feel pressure, just dirt it. No, that's what Tom Brady does now. And he's excellent enough everywhere else that it's working for him in Tampa because of the receivers and everything else there. Didn't work when he didn't have all those guys and all that stuff in New England. He made some plays. I mean, the Malik Taylor play, he's under pressure. He gets the offsides call. By the way, he had three pre-snap penalties against the Bills, two neutral zone infractions, one of them for a first down, and the free play offsides that he turned into a monster play on an unbelievable throw to the sideline. Covered two-hole shot, and you have the ball in the only place it could possibly be. Malik Taylor makes a nice catch along the sidelines, and the pocket was collapsing around him. So I don't want to hear any of the, oh, he, you know, when pressure comes, he makes bad decisions. No. He's made a lot of really good decisions and a lot of really good plays with pressure. You go back to the Texans game. There were a couple times he make throws where he's about to get hit in the chops and he stands in there and fires. It's one of the things that the Packers loved about him in college, is he's willing to stand in there and take a hit. Matt LaFleur, one of the first things he said about Jordan Love was that he's willing to stand tall in the pocket, take a shot, and make a throw. You don't want to take that out of a guy. You don't want to say, you know, just every time, live to fight another day, throw it out of bounds. No. But channel that aggressiveness in ways that are a little bit more productive for your team, that are a little bit more productive for your drive. You don't have to throw 40 yards down the field when you've got three defenders and two guys on the route. And it's not, wasn't double coverage per se. I've seen that out a lot there. Why do you throw in a double coverage? It wasn't double coverage. Micah Hyde was in the middle of the field. There were two guys on that side of the field. And so it was three defenders for two guys. It's a two-man route. Jordan Love on that, in that instance, when he's got someone right in his face and the only play is a deep shot and it's first down and you're in plus territory, you have to have the situational awareness to eat that one. Now, late in the game, you're trying to make a play, you're trying to go win the game. A little bit different. Fourth down, a little bit different. The situational awareness, and you need reps for that. And this is what I've said, and I'm going to continue to harp on it. I hear these things from not just fans, because it's not just Packer fans, it's Bears fans and Vikings fans, but it's media people too, even Packers media. And they're going, oh, well, this is just proof. Jordan Love needs a lot more time before he's ready to play. What does that mean exactly? What does he need time to do? Because if he's not playing, you don't just learn by osmosis. Most of this is experiential. And if ready, you know, wait till he's ready. How long before he's ready? He's not ready. If ready means when he gets in, he's Aaron Rodgers, he might never be ready. Probably will never be ready. He will never be that guy. And that's okay. He doesn't have to be. But Jordan Love, based on what we've seen, I mean, with the third and fourth stringers against the Bills defense, he had three good positive drives with backups and future Foot Locker employees. And he's not ready? I mean, there are probably 10 teams right now where he could be as good as their starter, if not better, right today. Today. If you don't think he's ready, tell me why. And tell me what you've seen that leads you to believe that that's true. That's the problem that I have. It is, oh, most of it is just specious. It's just nonsense. Oh, he turtles under pressure. No, he doesn't. That's not what he showed. He made two bad decisions with pressure, but look at the other snaps where he faced pressure. Those decisions are still bad, and we have to call them bad, and that goes back to his time at Utah State, especially that second year as a starter, that junior year. He made too many of those where he's just trying to, quote, make a play, and he gets a little too aggressive trying to make a play. How much can you coach that out of a guy? I don't have the answer to that. But that doesn't mean that under pressure, he's always like that. That doesn't mean he's panicked. He wasn't panicked. In fact, I thought he looked very poised in the pocket Saturday and against the Texans. What he needs is reps to find out what he can and cannot do off platform. It's hard to recreate in practice because the conditions are so sterile. And so that's why Aaron Rodgers, you hear him say this, he does it. He tests himself. He tries things in practice. Okay, can this guy go up and make a play for me? Jordan Love needs those reps. He needs those game reps to say, okay, this is what I trust my arm to do, everything I've ever wanted it to do. But in the NFL, I can't live that way. I just can't live that way. And so what does that mean for me? How does that affect what I'm trying to do here? So experience is really the only thing left for him because he looks like he can read defenses pre-snap. Now with, you know, a lot more scheming and pre-snap disguise and game planning. But that's every quarterback. Every quarterback is going to face that, and they have to, you know, they have to acculturate to that. Joe Burrow, it's going to look different this year because teams know he wants to play five out. And, you know, these rookie quarterbacks who look good in preseason, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. Justin Fields, when he plays, they're going to find out, okay, after the first 6 weeks, now we know you. Now we know the deal, and so you better be able to adjust. The stuff that we had questions about, that stuff looks good. It's the stuff that we thought he was pretty good at, the off-platform stuff, the out-of-structure stuff. Now, he would get into trouble there, but that was also where he had unique abilities to create. if all you want to do is box him in and say, okay, you're, you know, Cincinnati Bengals Andy Dalton, just play in structure, and when everything is good, you can be really good. And remember, Andy Dalton, those years when things were great around him, he was awesome. He was a really good quarterback. They could have won the Super Bowl that year if he stays healthy. Love is more talented than that by a considerable margin. But he has to be able to make the plays that are there for him and avoid the ones that aren't really there. And finding that line, you really can only do when you play. And so again, if we're gonna have, you know, criticisms, he's not ready. He needs seasoning. He's gotta learn. I need you to be specific about what those things mean and why and what he's shown so far specifically that leads you to that conclusion, or I'm just going to assume you're either a troll or you don't know what you're talking about. So be specific. Let's have a real conversation about football and let's have some fun. North One is better banking for small business owners. Serving small business is all they do. North One allows you to manage your money from anywhere, whether you're at home or on the go. Everything you need to manage your business finances at your fingertips. Never step foot in a bank branch again. In addition to features you'd expect like mobile check deposit, cash withdrawals, the ability to send and receive ACH, and wire payments, North One is an FDIC insured account that can save you time and money. North One integrates with the accounting software you already use, saving you hours of manual bookkeeping. And with North One's envelope feature, you can automatically budget and save for things like rent, payroll, taxes, and more. With North One, you'll never pay overdraft or NSF fees ever again, saving you hundreds of dollars per month. To get started, visit apply.northone.com/locked. That's apply.northone.com/locked. North One, business banking made for America. Today's episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for pro and college football action. Get the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device and sign up today to get a free 100% welcome bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. 100%. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, trying to read the tea leaves on the offensive line, and I think there are some breadcrumbs here. Are we reading breadcrumbs or tea leaves? I've lost the thread on the metaphor, but a week ago, Aaron Rodgers was asked a question by a media member, and the question started with David Bakhtiari slated to miss week one. Something to that effect. And Rodgers turned to Tom Fanning, his PR guy, and was like, the Packers PR guy, and was sort of like, well, he's not going to be out there. Like, it was hard to tell if he was trolling or if that was serious or both. With Rodgers, it can be difficult to tell. But Matt LaFleur, he said he knows who his starting five is. And the Packers imminently have a decision to make on David Bakhtiari and PUP. And LaFleur said he would not divulge that decision. We should be finding that decision out like today. Why not divulge it? Why not divulge it? And to me, the reason is because you're going to activate David Bakhtiari and you don't want the Saints to know that any sooner than you need to. Now, New Orleans going through its own thing right now, and I hope everyone, especially if you're a listener down there, but everyone really, I'm going to have to play favorites on this. I hope everyone down there is staying safe. Ida is scary and certainly was scary in the morning. Major winds. Some of the video from that storm is wild. And luckily, it turns out it wasn't as bad as they thought it maybe could be. there was a point at which I think there were real questions like, okay, if they don't handle this better than they did with Katrina, you know, the Packers are not going to be playing in New Orleans week one. Obviously, if that were the case, there would be 1,000 more important things to be thinking about and worrying about and trying to fix than where are they going to play the football game, right? But back to the offensive line point. I have been saying for weeks that I think David Bakhtiari is going to be the week one starter at left tackle. Now they've got Elgton Jenkins out there, and I think that's good because I think they need to know with Elgton Jenkins, can he play tackle? And I think that he ultimately could be the tackle of the future. Billy Turner, you know, probably going to be on this team in 2022. So maybe they don't need to know right now, but that could also be a cut, you know, depending on where they are, a trade, something like that. If they think Elgton Jenkins is that guy and some of these guards really pull through, I think Royce Newman is your day one starter at right guard. And I think even when David Bakhtiari gets back, he might stay at right guard if Elgton Jenkins is your left guard. Because, you know, Tom Silverstein mentioned on his podcast that John Runyon Jr. has not made the strides in the weight room that they thought he would make. Now, whether that is, you know, lack of effort or just like sometimes it just happens, you work out and you have a peak, you plateau. I mean, this is a thing in lifting. You plateau and it can be tough to break through those plateaus. And it's hard to get stronger once you reach a certain point. It might just be the case that he's a very good backup guard and, you know, spot starter. And that's all he is. We'll see. I'm not ready to make that claim, but Royce Newman has been very impressive. And the coaches have talked about it. And my expectation is he is going to be your starter at right guard. We'll see who starts at left guard, whether it's JRJ, whether it's Lucas Patrick. And who knows? I mean, Lucas Patrick could be a surprise cut. As of this recording, that hasn't happened yet, but it could happen. And it would save the Packers some money to do it that way. But I continue to believe David Bakhtiari is your week one starter. He looked better doing rehab drills than Dennis Kelly, who got hurt in training camp. And the fact that they're being coy about all of this just leads. I'm telling you, I'm just reading tea leaves. I just feel he's going to be ready. And this Packers offensive line, and that's the thing. I'm listening to podcasts, I'm watching the shows, I'm listening to talk radio. Because, you know, part of it is just my job. I need to know what's being said so that I can tell you why they're wrong. you think I'm joking. I am not joking. That is a real thing. I need to know what fans are hearing from other people. Because if I'm not listening and people are saying stuff wait, what? Then I'm not doing my job if I'm not talking about that stuff. Offensive line is the thing that I keep hearing. And yes, the Packers are going to start two rookies in all likelihood on this offensive line. But as I said last week on the show, Josh Myers, they lost Corey Linsley. So they have to bring in someone else. In this case, a rookie. And he's making the calls. They feel comfortable with him. Now he's the one that got blown up on the play where Jordan Love got his foot stepped on. So, you know, in a way that interception is partially his fault. And it hasn't been perfect for him. There are going to be some growing pains. We know that. That's just the nature of being a rookie at any position. Same with Royce Newman, but they love Royce Newman. And this front office has been absolutely money taking offensive linemen in the fourth round over the last 15 years. And I'm not saying Royce Newman is going to be Josh Sitton or TJ Lang or Corey Linsley, but Linsley was a fifth rounder. David Bakhtiari was a fourth rounder. They've been awesome with day three offensive linemen. It's just been awesome. This offensive line, if Bakhtiari is back, it's a top five offensive line in the league. And then you add in the depth. You know, I don't know if Dennis Kelly is going to make this team because he might be hurt and they may just not have to put him on the 53, or they put him on PUP, or, you know, he makes the 53, but then they IR and, you know, he can return. Remember the designation to return. Doesn't matter. That's not a thing that you have to designate up front anymore. And he can come back a lot sooner now. Luckily, those rules were always so stupid. I hated them and still think they're stupid. They have more depth there now. And Ben Braden, you know, if he has to play tackle, they feel comfortable with it. Does he look 50 years old? Yes. The hair, I'm sorry, Ben. Man, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. But he's acquitted himself nicely. They've got these guys, JRJ, Lucas Patrick, that are really nice backups, starter caliber players. You know, they have 8-9 guys that they could probably feel pretty good if they started. And then, you know, you start to get into some questions. Someone like Yosh Nijman, you know, those guys, can they be counted on? I don't think so. But, you know, Adam Stenovich said in preseason that he challenged Yosh. I was calling him Yosh. Yosh. I want him to be Yoshi, like in Mario Kart. You know, be dependable, be reliable, be someone that we can trust. I don't think he ever got to be that player, but he was certainly more consistent than I think he was given credit for, certainly than I gave him credit for. But there's still those big mistakes, and those big mistakes are going to continue to stand out until he fixes them. So because I think David Bakhtiari is going to be back, and if it's not week one, it's going to be like week two or week three. Like, he's going to play most of the year, or at least be ready to play earlier in the season than we thought. And if those guys are relatively healthy, this offensive line is going to be awesome. This offense is going to be awesome again. And that is, even now, I feel comfortable saying that this offense will continue to be very good, even if they had to play Jordan Love. He's shown me enough to say, okay, for a game, two games, maybe even three, four games, they can be okay offensively with Jordan Love. Can they win the Super Bowl with Jordan Love? I mean, probably not. Not unless the defense really makes a stride. And if that's the case, then, you know, then you could do it. And then you would have won it with Rodgers too. And maybe they still will. But they have depth now everywhere. We've already seen them weather the storm without Devontae. They've got depth at running back, depth at tight end, depth at offensive line, depth at quarterback, and enough at receiver that we've seen, again, them do it. We've seen them do it for a month at a time. Do it. That I feel like offensively, this team is as stacked as you can be, as loaded as you could be with depth. Do they have a ton of elite players? You know, they don't have the receiving core that some teams do. They don't have the Thielen-Jefferson combination. They don't have the Lockett-Metcalf combination. They don't have Godwin, A.B., Mike Evans, Scotty Miller. But they've got the best receiver in the league and a bunch of guys who are, as Aaron Rodgers said, you know, elite role players. And then all the tight ends, Josiah DeGuara gets back out on the field, catches a ball from Jordan Love. There are a lot of ways this team can beat you. And that's what makes this all really fun. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live. Another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone. And you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for, you know, the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment without the hassle. And a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required and content varies by package. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They've got 9 delicious base flavors: coconut, coconut almond, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, cherry, raspberry. Something for everyone. And not only do they taste awesome, and by the way, they taste awesome, but they are healthy too. Major protein, high in fiber, low in net carbs, low in sugar, and in that sweet spot in terms of calories. Enough to give you the energy that you're looking for, but not so much that you got to work harder to burn those extra calories. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% at built.com. Betting on the Packers doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. All right, we are going to be back tomorrow. Dante Whitner, former San Francisco 49er safety, is going to be on the show this week to talk about the Joe Barry defense, that match quarters Fangio-style defense. And I'm really excited to talk to him about it. We're going to talk about final cuts, which have to be done tomorrow. We should be getting, literally any minute as I record this, we're going to start hearing some cuts. There are going to be more on Monday before the Tuesday deadline. We're probably going to know all of the Packers' final 53 long before that last minute before the deadline. So, keep an eye on our Twitter feeds, Peter_Bukowski, at Locked On Packers, but also The Leap, Jason Hirschhorn, our buddy, America's guest, and our partner over at The Leap. He broke some cornerback news last week with the signing of Rogesterman Ferris. Rogesterman is just a tremendous name. Love that. So, a little bit of reporting in there too at The Leap. Subscribe to The Leap at theleap.substack.com. Link in my Twitter bio. Also, in the info of this podcast, it's going to be in the info of every podcast that we do until you sign up. We are going to wait until every single one of you. No, we're not. But it'd be great if you would sign up. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. I already said that. And anytime you want to hit us up on the Locked On Packers fan hotline, you can do that 920-341-3775 to stay Locked On Packers.